you started playing guitar with your dad, didn't you, when you were really young?
Yeah, he was my first ever guitar teacher, and then we played together when I was a kid.
And you were playing with him live pretty soon after that, weren't you?
Yeah, a few years after. I was probably 11 or 12 when I started playing live, just at like local places around Palo Alto.
So what was it like kind of getting your start in the music industry with family? Because not long after you started playing live, you joined your dad's family band.
There wasn't a family band before. Like, we kind of started one once my brothers were a little bit older. I have two younger brothers. And it started off just playing with other students of my dad's who were the same age. He's had some other kids, students who we'd play with. And we'd play at, like, local pizza parlors. And then once my brothers both got a little older and had started playing, then the three of us would play. And my dad started playing bass. And then it kind of naturally progressed into, like, the family band, plus our friend AJ Lee, who would sing and play mandolin with us as well. So, yeah, it was the five of us. And it was fun. Yeah, we didn't play that much. We, like, never really toured. But it was a fun way to get started performing and just learn about, like, making a set and putting on a show. And I think it was a good experience for me to just learn those skills early on.
So is there quite a booming bluegrass scene in Palo Alto then?
Yeah, there's a pretty big scene. There's like a few bluegrass festivals around the Bay Area. The California Bluegrass Association is kind of based in the Bay Area. My dad has a lot of students in Palo Alto who he teaches bluegrass to, and they have jams and different bands will form right here in Palo Alto. But the Bay Area in general has a pretty great bluegrass scene.
Because you always kind of assume bluegrass is a Kentucky thing.
Yeah, it's really like, it's been a thing in California for a long time. And Vern Williams is a great bluegrass musician who moved up from Arkansas to the Bay Area. And he kind of got this scene started. It was already kind of going. But, you know, you have like David Grisman, who lived in the Bay Area for years, and Lori Lewis and Kathy Kalick. And there have just been so many great and really important bluegrass musicians out in California. But I think the history of bluegrass out there is really important too.
Gonna let the ocean flood underneath my door and carry me and my couch away. But you're a million miles away. You're a million miles up.
The music you play now, you play with a band made up of friends and colleagues from the music industry. How different is that from playing with your family band?
It's pretty different. I haven't played with my family band in a long time, but it's different musically, and it's people I didn't like grow up with. I think always with, if you're playing with your family, it's going to be a different dynamic because you have like the family dynamic going as well. But it's hard to describe the way it's different, but it is very different.
So you were the first woman to win Guitar Player of the Year at the International Bluegrass Music Awards. That must have been quite an honor, but also, what took them so long to give that award to a woman?
I'm not sure what took them so long. There have always been like great women guitar players, but I think the guitar especially is more of a male dominated instrument in the past. And even now, like the music industry and the music community is, I think it's a more welcoming environment for men. Like, I mean, at least as a woman playing guitar, like I felt like the expectations for me as a guitar player were lower than for men. Like if I was playing in a jam, maybe people wouldn't expect me to take a solo. Or I think girls like coming up in bluegrass, there's still like hurdles that they might face that men might not face as much. I think boys are more encouraged to take risks, and that can really impact you if you're a musician. Like it might be harder to feel comfortable like improvising a solo on a song you don't know as well. At least for me, I felt a little underestimated at times. I think women need to be out there playing more to encourage girls, and the more girls will see women winning awards and playing on stage, the more they'll feel encouraged too. But I think men also have a job of just creating a more welcoming environment for girls as well.
So what gave you the confidence to to buck those low expectations and to take the risks that you weren't expected to?
I was always surrounded by really supportive people. And I remember the times when I was in like a jam or a situation where I felt uncomfortable because people were maybe underestimating me or just treating me differently because I was a girl. Those were not so common for me. I remember that when I would go to like a festival that I hadn't been to and was jamming with people I didn't know. But I think especially in California, there were so many amazing women musicians, and my dad was always really supportive of me. So I didn't really experience that until I left California and kind of went out into the broader music world and went to music college where I was the only woman in any of my guitar classes. That's when I started experiencing that. But I think as a kid, I was always in a pretty nurturing environment.
That must have been eye-opening to kind of leave that and go out into the wider world and see how things are.
Yeah, it was in some ways. I think like sometimes you don't really notice it at first, but I definitely, when I went off to music college, I did notice being treated a different way than I had in the past.
So you formed the Goodbye Girls at Berklee, didn't you?
Yeah.
So how did that come about?
That came about through the fiddle player in the band. She's from Sweden, and she left Sweden to go to Berklee for a couple of years, and a Swedish booking agent reached out to her, and he was like, hey, why don't you put together a band of Berklee students? He said he would book a whole tour in Sweden for us that summer. So she asked Allison DeGroot, who's the banjo player in the Goodbye Girls, to be in the band, and Allison asked me, and then I found Brittany Carlson, who I was roommates with at the time. She plays bass in the band, and so it all just kind of came together, and such a fun band. We all became really good friends, and we've toured a bunch. I think we've been to Sweden like 5 times now, but it's a really fun outlet. It's so different from what I'm doing now with my own band.
Is there a big call for bluegrass music in Sweden?
Yeah, we've played a couple bluegrass festivals over there. There's a huge folk music scene, so we've played a lot of like folk festivals, and I think what we do kind of merges a bunch of different styles. Like Allison comes from such an old-time world, and Leanna plays a lot of Swedish folk music. I play bluegrass, and Brittany Carlson kind of grew up playing more jazz, but also listened to bluegrass growing up too. So I think our band can kind of fit in a few different types of festivals.
I'm talking to Molly Tuttle, a singer, songwriter, and incredible guitarist who will be playing the Americana Festival in Auckland on October the 13th. So, Molly, you have seemed to have mastered all picking styles on the guitar, but you play clawhammer on the guitar as well, and I've never seen anyone do that. How did you kind of arrive at that?
That came about through, well, first I was playing clawhammer banjo. I was learning that from a clawhammer banjo teacher at the music store where my dad teaches out of. So I was going there for clawhammer banjo lessons. And then I actually taught at a music camp in California called the California Coast Music Camp when I was 16 or 17. It was one of my first ever like teaching experiences. But I remember there was an off period for me where I didn't have to teach or anything. So I looked at the schedule and there was a clawhammer guitar class. And since I had just been learning clawhammer banjo, I thought I'd go check it out. And I'd never heard anyone playing that style on guitar before that. But I thought it was really cool. And there's a few people in the Bay Area who play that style. And so the teacher there, Michael Stadler, just showed me a tuning that was similar to a banjo tuning on guitar that works really well with clawhammer guitar. And he showed me an old traditional song, Little Sadie, on the clawhammer guitar. And then I took it home and just kind of evolved my own style with it and started writing songs with that style. And yeah, it's become a fun, like, alternate way to play the guitar for me.
So how do you choose which picking style you're going to use on a song? Is it part of how you write the tune, or do you kind of sit down and think, well, maybe I should use a plectrum for this bit, or
It comes about through different ways. Sometimes I'll start a song and be like, I want to write a Clawhammer guitar song and maybe come up with a riff on the Clawhammer guitar and then write the song around that. But a lot of times my go-to is just playing with a pick. So a lot of times I'll start writing a song with a pick, and then the more I listen to it, I'm like, hey, this could be cool with a finger-picked version or a Clawhammer guitar version. But I think since I'm most comfortable using a pick on the guitar, that's usually my go-to, and then I try to come up with maybe a different inventive way to play it on the guitar.
So your album, When You're Ready, has some incredible guitar playing, some wonderful songs, but there's a real kind of melancholy tone to a lot of it. Like When You're Ready, the title track, and High Road specifically. So what was going on with you when you were writing that album?
I always have loved sadder sounding songs for some reason. But I think when I was writing this record too, it was like a big transition in my life where I'd moved to Nashville and I was just getting my career going, and I just ended a big relationship in my life, and there were just a lot of different things where I think you can hear that on this album. I'm kind of searching for, like, what's next, who am I, like, kind of learning to set personal boundaries and figure out my goals and really just kind of figuring out who I am, I guess.
So who are your songwriting influences? Because you've got a real kind of mix of more modern country songwriting and bluegrass in there.
A big songwriting hero of mine for a long time has been Gillian Welch. And I think there's a few of the songs on the album, you can hear that. But when I was writing the album, I was actually listening to Amy Mann all the time. And she had become like my obsession. So I think you can hear some of her influence too on the record. Just maybe chord changes that I was inspired by from some of her songs. And Bob Dylan is a big hero of mine, Joni Mitchell, and Hazel Dickens was kind of my first ever songwriting hero when I was like 12. I fell in love with her music, and she's kind of who started inspiring me to write songs in the first place. So I think my songwriting heroes are always changing, and I listen to so many different kinds of music that it's hard to pinpoint who exactly was influencing the songs on When You're Ready or the songs I'm writing now, but I think one definite person I can point to is Amy Mann. I was just listening to her all the time when I was writing that album.
Gotta keep on rolling, but I'm picking up the dust. My head is getting foggy, my hinges all have rust. Can't you keep the faith now?
There's a particular sound to the bluegrass guitar. It's kind of bright and clear. And what is it that makes that sound? Is it the guitar or is it the way it's played?
I think it's both. It's a very specific style, and most people play dreadnought guitars, so that's what I was playing on When You're Ready, and it's like a bigger bodied guitar. They're generally brighter sounding than like a small body guitar or like a hollow body. Yeah, so most people play that kind of guitar, and then you play with a heavier pick, which produces a different sound as well. It actually kind of is a less bright sound than if you were playing with a thin pick. It's just like a specific technique, too, to the playing that produces that sound. But yeah, everything with the bluegrass flat picking style is like very specific, and it all came out of like Clarence White, the way he played. And yeah, I think it's just kind of developed into this unique style.
So I've seen a lot of videos on Instagram of you at Carter Vintage Guitars in Nashville playing these stunning-looking instruments.
I know.
And you seem to have your pick of all the beautiful guitars that they have there.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it looks great. What is it you look for in a guitar when you go guitar shopping?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I love old guitars. I don't actually have any old guitars right now. I had an old guitar for a while, and I didn't like touring with it because I was always so worried about it. But I just look for, like, a guitar, first of all, that's, like, easy, that feels good to play. I like guitars with smaller necks, and it's just, like, a specific feeling that's comfortable for me that I look for. And then especially the older guitars just have this really, like, kind of earthy, opened up sound to them that I really love. Sometimes they can almost sound like a grand piano, and with just lots of overtones and really ringing out. And that's kind of like what I look for too, the more the guitar speaks and rings and the more sound it produces.